What's happening, beautiful people? I have a question for you. What have you done to love yourself today? Today we're going to be talking about self-care, what it is, how I do it, and how I fail at it. So let's get right in. My name is Randy, and this is a memoir from my broken brain. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to Memoirs of a Broken Brain. As I mentioned, my name is Randy, and if this is your first time listening, welcome. Happy to see you. Today, I want to talk about self-care. Self-care is actually something that, in the midst of the state of the world, I have a feeling that this concept is not only misunderstood, but overlooked, especially in a time like this. Well, Randy, what is self-care? Well, I thought you'd never ask. Self-care to me is self-love, right? If I love myself, then I should take care of myself. Okay, so how do I take care of myself? Well, it comes down to keeping a mind, body, and soul wellness. You know, keeping my head clean, my body clean, and my soul happy. You know, and right now, I think now more than ever, it is extremely important. And with the whole COVID era, and this quarantine, it's actually really easy to forget about the little things that go into self-care. You know, little things like the basics. It just happened last week. I went out to dinner for the first time now that things are starting to open up. And I made the joke that this is the first time that I had worn pants in like 3 months. You know, I didn't just walk around in my chonies the whole time, but it was the first time that I had actually gotten dressed up to do something, you know, because I work from home. I don't have to get dressed up to do what I do. And it made me think that there's probably a lot of people who have mental and emotional disorders like depression, anxiety disorders like I have, where a quarantine like this can lead to depressive episodes, which lead to an ultimate abandoning of all self-care. You know, I don't know if any of you guys have ever been through a depressive episode where just getting out of bed seems like a chore. You know, taking a shower. Like, I remember I've been in some depressive episodes and I've abandoned self-care so heavily that sometimes I would go a week without taking a shower just because what's the fucking point? You know, I just didn't even have any zest, any motivation to get up and live life like a normal human being. And one of those normal human being things is hygiene. Right, and that might get overlooked as something important, or it might not even click to some people that, wow, like, you don't shower sometimes? Like, that's, not only is that gross, but like, I wouldn't even think of that. Well, I'm sure that there are other elements of self-care that people who don't know about that aspect might abandon as well. You know, and it's important to remember these things because an unhealthy mind leads to an unhealthy body. And that leads to unhealthy behaviors. You know, and I've hurt myself and I've hurt others because I didn't care about myself and therefore was unable to care about others. And so in order for me to care about myself, I have to take care of myself. And I know I've repeated that a few times already, but I really want to stress the point that it's these things that create this foundation of love within us that allows us to radiate that love back out to others. You know, I don't know if you've ever had a rough week at work or a rough month at work and then family obligations and you just burn out, right? Well, when I burn out, it's generally because I've abandoned some form of self-care, right? It's not just about showering and brushing your teeth. It's also about keeping my mind healthy and happy and keeping my soul cleansed. Some people say like, well, self-care, you know, isn't that a little bit selfish? If I have to focus on me to make sure I'm okay, isn't that kind of a selfish mindset to have? My opinion is no. I leave you with this. In an airplane, they tell you that when these oxygen masks fall down, you're supposed to put yours on first before helping the person next to you put on theirs. Because if you try to put on theirs first, and you're fumbling around, and the oxygen is depleting, and you pass the fuck out, well, now you got two passed out motherfuckers because neither one of you guys could put on your mask. So if you take that few seconds to put on your own mask and oxygenate yourself, well, then you are in a state to be able to help others put on their mask. And that's why it's important to really focus on the aspect of self-care, because if I'm not healthy enough to take care of myself, then there's no way that I am able to take care of anybody else. And so now that we've kind of talked about what self-care is, let's talk about some examples of self-care. There are some times where we can, and I know me personally, I've done this too, where we do extravagant things, right? We go on an adventure, we have a spa day, we buy ourselves gifts, and it's like, hey, it's self-care, I'm taking care of me, you know? And while yes, that is self-care, but those are things, and there's a lot more to it. See, to me, self-care is a call to action. It's something I have to actively practice on a daily basis. It's not something that I can just do for myself, a one and done, or something that I can give to me. It's not a singular moment. It's an action. Self-care is an active form of creating this serenity bubble that I'm currently experiencing that I might not experience tomorrow. So I really have to mind my P's and Q's in this regard. So the first obvious aspect of self-care is physical wellness, right? That could be fitness, nutrition, things like that. It's obvious, right? If I have a healthy body, that'll help lead to a healthy mind. Now for fitness, that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be a gym rat or you have to go and run marathons or do an Ironman competition or anything like that, right? But you do have to keep your body a well-oiled machine. Now for me, what fitness looks like is I participate in powerlifting and strongman, in no way competitive or professional or anything like that. But the element of fitness that I was experiencing before I started taking care of me, before I started loving myself, was zero. Physical activity was the death of me. I would actually get fearful of doing physical activity. If my friends were like, hey, let's go get a pickup game of football, or let's go throw the ball around, let's go do this, that, and the other that involve physical activity, I would find an excuse to get out of it because I was afraid to do it because I know that my fitness level was at an all-time low and I didn't want to experience that kind of embarrassment. But once I started taking care of my body, and this took many iterations over the last few years, I had the ultimate goal at first to lose all the weight and get super skinny. Once I lost a significant amount of weight, I no longer wanted that. That then turned into, well, I want to be as big and as muscular as I can be. So I started focusing on that. And that then evolved into powerlifting because being strong brings me the most joy. Now, I don't know if you guys have any experience with powerlifting specifically or any type of strength sports, but I'm one of those weird guys where I think it's a meditative experience to go and step up to a deadlift bar and know that there is nothing stopping you from lifting that weight than you. It really teaches you a lot about yourself in those moments. And so that's the way that I keep my body physically clean and physically ready, is by performing these movements specifically, but just keeping my body moving. A healthy body leads to a healthy mind. Now with fitness, there has to be the nutrition aspect as well. This is the hard part. This is the hard part for me. You know, good food is good fuel, and I need good fuel in order to achieve good fitness. Now, what makes this hard is that food is the ultimate savior for a bad day. You know, I don't know how much you guys know about the reptilian brain, you know, your amygdala, the fight or flight instinct that you have, but for someone with an anxiety disorder like me, that shit is constantly fucking firing, right? That's my amygdala, in case you don't know. I think that's the scientific sound that it makes, but You're going to have to look it up just to be sure. But when my amygdala is firing nonstop, if I'm constantly battling fear and dealing with this anxiety on a biological level, as soon as I start eating, that part of my brain shuts off. And so you see people, and me included, that stress eat, that find solace in sweets. And there's a scientific reason for that. It's because when you are eating, you are not experiencing fear. And that's pretty powerful. But it's also very easy to have that become a crutch. And that was actually my first coping mechanism back when I was a child, was food, right? When I was eating, I was feeling a little less afraid of the world. But it's important to not fall victim to the sweets. It's important to fill your body with good, healthy food. Now, that doesn't mean you have to hashtag keto, become a vegetarian. If that's your thing, cool. It's not mine. But I have to put the right fuel into my body that will yield the best outcome in the gym. And if those of you who maybe aren't interested in a gym life or picking up a sport, but just want to take a couple walks a week, put on your favorite podcast, like the one you're listening to now, wink, wink, and just go for a walk. Your body still needs the right fuel to burn that off. If you put shitty things into your body, you're going to feel shitty and you're going to perform shittily. It's all going to be bad. So eat good shit, you'll feel better. You know, and then the most important and overlooked aspect of physical wellness, sleep. I don't think people understand just how important sleep is. Now, I used to be a night owl. I used to stay up really late, and then I would get up really early, and I would average between 3 to 4 hours of sleep a night for a decade. Your brain's not equipped to handle that little rest and recovery. Your body recovers when it sleeps. All the bad shit that happened in your day, all the stress you're carrying, all the damage you've done in your workouts, all of these things are repaired when you sleep. Sleep brings you back to center. Sleep helps rebuild the brain and rebuild the body. But so many of us forget to sleep. It sounds silly. You know, my little brother actually said something really funny. He made the comment one time, you know, how do you suck at being tired? But we do. We suck at being tired. We suck at allowing ourselves to get the rest we need. And when we wake up the next day unrested, well, that leads to low productivity at work. That leads to irritability. And it leads to feeling shitty. Okay, well, what happens when I start feeling shitty? Well, when I'm feeling shitty, I want to eat shitty food. They call it comfort food for a reason. And so with getting enough sleep, that's allowing me to start my day off on the right foot. Sleep is super important. And those three, fitness, nutrition, and sleep, are the pillars of physical wellness. Again, I am not saying that you have to be a peak performance athlete in order to achieve success in this area. Move your body a little bit, put the right fuel in it, let it recover. Simple, not easy. And I fail at all three of these still quite often. And I can tell you, there is a direct correlation between how I behave and act towards others and how well I'm keeping my body physically primed to take on the world. So that leads to mental wellness. This one. Oof, this can get greedy. But mental wellness has a lot of different nuggets of information. You know, I'm not gonna throw all of them at you here, but a few of the most important, in my opinion, staying connected. You know, abandoning isolation. Especially in addiction. Addiction is a very lonely place. You could be surrounded by 1,000 people and still be trapped in the prison of your own mind. There is nothing more lonely and isolated than living an addicted life. Now, even in recovery, the problem then becomes isolation becomes that warm blanket on a cold night. You wake up on a Saturday morning, the sun's barely peeking through your window. There's still a really cold crisp in the air because I sleep with the air on. And it just feels so good to lay under that blanket, right? Well, that's what isolation does to me still sometimes. Sometimes I just get way too comfortable with not talking to anybody, with not reaching out to people, with not staying connected. It's unhealthy. It's an unhealthy existence. And when I start isolating, I essentially allow a nice, calm place for my demons to exercise. And that's obviously all bad. So how do I do that? Well, I'd make it a point. And sometimes I have to act as if I want to do this shit, because a lot of times I don't. But it's something I always feel better after I do. And it's something that I always have to be mindful of. Talk to someone every day. Not the people you work with, not the people you live with. Just reach out and say hello. Send a text message to a friend. Call a relative that you haven't talked to in a while. Just to stay connected. We're tribal in nature. We're not designed to be alone. The human's positive response to fear and pain is to seek solace in the nurturing nature of our same species. There's a reason why when we're kids and we have a bad dream, we go run to our parents' room. That's what calms us down. Staying connected to other humans. We have to do it. We have to do it. It feels really good to be alone sometimes. There is a difference. There is a very thin line between isolation and solitude. We are okay living in the solitude side of things. We have to live there sometimes. You know what? Live is actually a strong word. You know, we got to visit solitude sometimes. That's important for mental wellness as well, but it is not beneficial to isolate. A next good place for mental wellness is practicing mindfulness, right? Mindfulness to me is the ability to stay present, to be present in what you're doing, being mindful of where you are, being mindful of how you're feeling, being mindful of what you need to do next in order to be thinking, feeling good. Practicing mindfulness can come in many forms. I prefer meditation. Now, meditation doesn't have to be sitting on the edge of a cliff with your eyes closed, being one with the universe as the breeze flows from the east to the west, gently flowing through your majestic beard. It can be that, but it doesn't have to be. Meditation was a big, scary word for me for a long time, especially being anxious in nature. I don't do well with silence, and I don't do well with sitting still for very long. So I immediately assumed that I would not be good at meditating. Just like everything else, it takes practice. And I can't let the difficulty of something be what scares me from doing it. But there are all types of meditative practices. You don't have to just sit there in silence. That is some of it. But other ways that I've meditated in the past, I read. I read something that is going to empower me or brighten my day or set me on the right path. I just spend 5 minutes reading a little excerpt of something just to stay present and to stay mindful. Other forms of meditation can be breathing techniques. This is actually something that I still do now, and it's actually what I found the most benefit as a meditative practice for me, is I do a breathing technique called the Wim Hof method. That's W-I-M-H-O-F. Wim Hof, also known as the Iceman, has achieved great physical feats. He holds world records for being submerged underneath ice water. He climbed Everest in nothing but shorts. And he actually has been able to tap into the autonomic nervous system and control his immune response to toxins. And he did this all by a breathing technique. And basically, the short version is it's a series of high oxygenation breaths that oxygenates the blood, followed by a series of breath holds where you cut off the oxygen to your body. And you do this for 3 to 4 rounds. And in my experience in doing it, I've been able to take my breath holds from 40 seconds to be able to hold my breath for over 3 minutes doing this. Now, there is a right way to do it. There's a wrong way to do it. And what I'll do is in the show notes for this episode, I will put some links to Wim Hof Method. I'm in no way sponsored or anything by Wim Hof, by the way. I just think that something like this that takes me to a realm of spirituality, but is based in a world of science, is precisely my speed. And so that's how I meditate. And other ways to stay present and practice mindfulness. At the end of the day, I try to reflect on the day. I try to take inventory, is what I call it. Basically, you know, I have to check stock. I got to see what's still on the shelf, what left that day. What that actually means is I have to look back on my day and be like, huh, was I resentful at all today? Was I dishonest anywhere? Is there anything that I did today that would require me to apologize to anyone? Something that I might not have noticed in the moment, but something that I can reflect on at the end of the day. And if I owe an apology, I give it. And if there's something that I need to look at as to, oh, why did I act that way? You know, I take a look at that. But I remain accountable for my actions, and I stay present in keeping on top of that. If some part of my inventory in my stock room is depleting, and I need to place another order to refill that shit, then I better do that. Other important aspects of mental wellness is finding balance and de-stressing. I used to be in a position at work where I would just work overtime every day. I would bring work home with me. I'd be this constant ball of stress. I would have to still maintain training in the gym, still maintain my family life, and then still maintain my relationships outside of work and family. And there was no balance. It was constantly go, 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 until I finally would burn out. And then I would treat everybody around me like shit because I'd be grumpy and angry. And there was no balance. There was no balance between go, go, go and recover and rest and finding that center and being mindful. There was no balance. Find a balance. If there is no balance, there will never be calm and serenity. And part of de-stressing and finding that balance is probably the absolute hardest thing to do so far that we've talked about. And that's setting healthy boundaries. You know, learning to value yourself enough to say no. And that's something that I fail more than I succeed still to this day. It's something I have to actively work on. Setting healthy boundaries. Setting healthy boundaries at work, setting healthy boundaries at home, setting healthy boundaries with people outside of my immediate family. If there's no balance and I'm constantly go, 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 and then I also have to maintain the people-pleasing aspect of the world around me, that is going to contribute more to my burnout. It's going to lead me to be more resentful, and it's going to lead me to isolate. It's going to push me, I'm going to push me to isolate when things like this happen. When all it takes is like, hey, you know what? I think I'm just going to chill at home today. Or I'm going to have to pass on this event, or even setting healthy boundaries with work. No, I have a prior engagement with my family this evening. I can't work late today. Now, there are some things to consider when setting your boundaries, right? It's setting healthy boundaries. It's not allowing the people-pleasing aspect of my brain to negatively affect my well-being. Now, if your boss tells you to do something, sometimes you just gotta fucking do it. If there's a big event going on that you've already committed to, you can't set a boundary for a promise you've made, right? There are some times where you have to sacrifice, and it's not even a sacrifice most times, but there are some times where a boundary cannot healthily be set. But there are other times where it's okay to say no. And it's really scary. It's really scary to have to tell someone no. You're going to have to pass because that big scary thing of someone not liking you. Trust me, I know. But it's okay. It's okay to love yourself enough to know, hey, I need to take a break. You have to. It's imperative. And when I don't do these things that I've been talking about, the physical wellness, the mental wellness, finding balance, being mindful, when I don't do these things, there are a series of things that take place afterwards. Every time. Sure as shit. Fucking as sure as the sun will rise. I'll get snappy. I'll get sluggish. I'll start isolating. I'll get disconnected. I'll be emotionally and spiritually flat. Life just will be very blah. I'll be meh. It absolutely has a direct effect. And there's actually an acronym that when I notice that these things are happening and I'm behaving in this way, it's an acronym that I actually use as a word. It's HALT, H-A-L-T, right? If I'm behaving in a certain way, I have to halt. I have to stop. And what HALT stands for is hungry, angry, lonely, tired. Am I hungry? Am I angry? Am I lonely? Am I tired? If I'm any one of these things, then I'm not following my self-care as closely as I need to. And I need to take a step back. And I need to be able to look, assess, and revive, rebuild. You know, start from square one. And if I'm hungry, eat something. If I'm angry, what am I angry at? If I'm lonely, fucking talk to somebody. And if I'm tired, sleep. Sleep. So remember, if you're being a dick, if everyone around you, if everybody you encounter today is an asshole, chances are you're the asshole. And you need to stop. You need to halt. And be mindful of what you're feeling and how you're behaving. Now, it's not just abandoning the basics of self-care that can lead us into trouble. There are lots of ways that I abandon self-care, even still today. And if the big one for me is I don't like going to the doctor. If I'm not feeling good or if I'm injured, I will fucking push through until I am miserable until I go to the doctor. Well, that's not loving myself. If I loved myself, I would want to find out what's wrong and I would want to get better and find the solution. But there are still broken parts of me that find comfort in my own misery. I don't know if it's some fucking leftover shit about, you know, feeling like, oh, well, I don't deserve a solution, or, you know, the pain lets me know I'm still alive. You know, some shit like that. I don't know what the fuck it is, but I do this still, you know. Scarfing up bad food. I do still do this, and I'm sure that a lot of us listening or talking or, you know, if you're here rocking with me, chances are there are broken parts of you too, and you can relate to this as well. But hey, I talked about comfort food. Sometimes when I'm feeling shitty, shitty food just sounds good. Especially when I've abandoned other shitty behaviors or forms of coping with negative feelings. Sometimes bad food just feels good. Now, that's not to say that you can't indulge every once in a while. But I urge you. I challenge you even. Next time you eat a whole box of fucking Oreos, take a look and see if how you're feeling. Be present, be mindful. Chances are, there's something that you can unpack there that might need a little more attention. Now, to kind of separate my life, I like to use, I like visuals. I'm a very visual person. And I kind of separate my life into three categories, right? So for the sake of being visual, let's do a traffic light, right? There's red light, yellow light, green light. Now, my red light behaviors, you know, my addictive behaviors, the things that only lead to pain and suffering for me and the ones around me, those are red light. Those will stop my life. Those are activities that we just don't even touch. You don't run that red light. Don't ever run that red light. If you run that red light, you can crash, burn, die, kill someone else. Coppers could come get you. Just don't fucking do it. Conversely, green light, right? So my green light activities are where I want to live. That's where I strive to be. Those are my hobbies. Those are spending time with family and being present. For me, it's creating this podcast or listening to music or playing the new Call of Duty. What up? There's lots of things. Take a moment and think about the things that bring you joy. The healthy things that bring you joy, because I know that there's a lot of unhealthy things that can bring us a lot of joy. But think about what brings you joy. That's your green light. That's where we want to live. Why would we not want to live there? Why do we choose to not feel that way or live that way or do what is needed in order to experience that happiness? We all do it. We all forget to take care of ourselves. We all forget to live our green light lives. And then there's the yellow light. Now, the yellow light is kind of it's a warning signal, right? It's a warning that, hey, the red light is coming. There are certain behaviors or activities that I would put into this category that ultimately lead to those red light behaviors. You know, it's something's off. It's an alarm system. Ignoring my feelings or people pleasing or not setting those healthy boundaries, not finding a balance. Those are all things that will ultimately lead to me not feeling good, which can lead to red light activities. And abandoning my self-care is a yellow light activity. If I stop taking care of myself, it's only a couple seconds, a hop, skip, and a jump till that red light comes up. So I really have to pay attention to this. Because abandoning my self-care is yellow light. But taking care of myself so I can enjoy the things that bring me happiness, that's green light. And those things can be, it's a switch. It can flip back and forth. So just be mindful, you know, and be present. So being present, this is something I actually want to touch on a little bit. Being present, it doesn't have to be this hippy dippy, feeling the frequencies of the universe and this, that, and the other, right? But have you ever just been there without being there? Now, I've been in my family's, my daughter's life specifically, I've been around. Even in the depths of my addiction, I've been there. I existed. But I wasn't there. I wasn't present. My mind was elsewhere. My body was deteriorating. And my spirit was just not there at all. You know, being present is important, and it doesn't have to be that dramatic either. Have you ever read something, read a whole page, read a whole article, and then at the end of it, we're like, what the fuck did I just read? And then you have to read it again? It's because you weren't there. You weren't present. You know, we do this all the time. You ever go on autopilot on the way home from work? All of a sudden, you're pulling into your driveway, and you're like, holy shit, I don't even remember the drive. If all of a sudden, life starts becoming a series of items to check off a list, we're not being present. We're not doing what we need to do to stay in the moment. You know, I wake up, eat breakfast, go to work, train, spend time with family. Check, 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 check. Well, that's not living life. That's just going through the motions. You know, and that's something that I still have to be mindful of and try to avoid. So I want to wrap this up a little bit with an exercise. Don't worry, we're not going to go for a run because fuck that. But a little exercise on being present. Okay, this is going to be weird. It's going to be interesting. But I'm going to do it with you. My morning got off to a very busy start. And I think that I'm going to find value in this for me. And so I hope that you can just come with me, just for a second, okay? Just close your eyes. Don't worry. You're going to be okay. Unless you're driving. Don't fucking close your eyes if you're driving, obviously. We got to be smart about this shit. If you're in a safe place, close your eyes. Take a deep breath. Take another one. Now, with your eyes closed, I want you to focus and see if you can feel and isolate the feeling in your fingertip. Just really focus on it. Do you feel your heart beating in it? Do you feel like this vibration Do you feel the energy flowing through your finger? When was the last time you did that? It's crazy, huh? Now let's move it out to the whole hand. Can you feel it? Keep your eyes closed. Just feel your hand. Now let's try to do the arm. What is your arm feeling? Can you feel your arm? What about both arms? It's crazy, huh? I have a smile on my face now as I'm doing it because I forget these things. What about your legs? Can you feel both arms and your legs at the same time? What about the base of your neck and your head? Try to feel all these things. Now, as you're feeling this, as you're focusing on actually feeling the sensations in your body, what are you hearing? Other than the sound of my voice, I hear my refrigerator running. I hear my rabbit kind of rustling around with things in the background. All while feeling my body and hearing these things. Now, even with your eyes closed, what do you see? Do you see colors? Do you see flashes? Now, what you're doing right now is you are being 100% completely present in this moment, in your mind and in your body. When was the last fucking time you did that shit? Ah, wow. All right, open your eyes, back to real life. That was good though. And this, what you just did is you meditated, right? We took 2 minutes and we meditated, right? We became present and center. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. And if you liked that, try to go for 3 minutes next time. Set a timer for 5 minutes. But it is up to us to actively take care of ourselves and be present in this moment. And with the craziness in the world, everything that is outside of our control, what absolutely is in our control is us. Now. Be here now. Like Ram Dass says. If you don't know Ram Dass, I'll throw some cool links your way on him as well. He's also a peculiar duck, but very, very special. Some of the messages that he put out. But that's it, man. That's self-care. Take care of your mind. Take care of your body, and the soul will follow, and the way you behave will follow, and the way you're able to be the best version of you for others will follow. And that's what it's all about. Put on your oxygen mask first, and then you'll be the breath of fresh air for everyone else around you. Well, that's going to do it today, guys, and you have no idea how much I appreciate you guys listening and being with me on this journey. I know we're still hitting them speed bumps. We're off to a rocky start a little bit here and there, but the fact that you're here with me, I couldn't be more grateful. And if you like what I'm doing, if you like hearing this, if you want to hear more, don't forget to subscribe to the show. Rate and review on Apple Podcasts. That would be a huge help to me. That'll get more people access to the show. And we can grow this thing and bring pieces of our broken brain together, and all of our broken pieces can fit together. Some fun and new interesting things are coming up, so don't forget to share the show. There is a website landing page now for the show that is moabbpod.podcastpage.io. If you want to holler at me directly, if you want to shoot me some topics you'd like me to explore and discuss on the show. You just have a story you want to tell me. If you just want to say hi. If you want to tell me how much I suck. I got you covered. There is an email address for the show now, too. That's moabbpod@gmail.com. Hope to see you guys soon. It's going to be a very fun ride, and I'm grateful that you guys are coming with me. So, let's all just go out there and be a self-care bear today, right? Let's push them bellies out with their little heart emblems and love ourselves. Because if you haven't loved yourself today, what the fuck are you waiting for?